Broadcasting worldwide to make a difference. This is Positive Impact Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. Men have many challenges in life. A lot of issues, a lot of challenges, like women. But unlike women, men don't always have a place to go to talk about those issues, work through them, get the therapy, the coaching, the consultation that they need. We're going to talk to some of those issues and talk to somebody that helps a lot of men with those. He's made it his life's work to get that done, to walk that journey with men. His practice is called Mind Aligns, and he's Conrad Lipick, and he joins us today. Conrad, welcome. How are you doing today?
Hey, doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. And it's in my view of all of this, men are never encouraged to show their emotion. You grow up, even as a kid, you're told, hey, big boys don't cry, or come on, man up. So a lot of men just hide that, bury all of those emotions inside, and eventually it has to come out maybe years later, you know, when you become an adult. And a lot of us believe that a lot of those things that pilot us now, men or women, it came from our childhood. Do you feel when you work with men that that's a lot of what they're going through?
Yeah, a lot of it really is generational, passed down from father, grandfather, great-grandfather, et cetera, where, you know, in the past, society was like, okay, you're a man, you need to just suck it up, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and keep going because life is difficult. You think about it, back in the, like, even before the olden days, it was, you know, kill or be killed. You're going out hunting and you have to be around a whole bunch of people and you can't let your fear get involved. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you or your friends are going to get killed. And then that gets passed down. And then all of a sudden we have the Industrial Revolution. You have to go out and you have to, you know, suffer so that your family can do better than you did. Then, you know, time goes on. And every generation, it's, I'm going to work my ass off. Oh, sorry, didn't mean to cuss. I'm going to work my butt off my kids can have a better life than I do. And I can't tell anybody about the struggles I'm going through because other people are going through it as well. So I'm just going to be quiet about it. And then all of a sudden, you know, our kids are seeing what's going on. They're like, oh, I'm a boy. I can't, you know, cry whenever I fall down. And I can't cry when my feelings get hurt. Or I can't lash out. The only thing that is accepted is anger because that shows I'm a man. Or happiness because everybody's happy. And so anything outside of those two, I can't express that.
Well, interesting how you say, going back to the olden days, and I love the way you put that. I haven't heard that term in a long time, but it says it all. That men did the dirty work back then, way back I'm talking, where men would be gone for a month. They wouldn't be spending a lot of time at home just because, just like you said, they were out slaying the beast or taking care of all those things. So evolution-wise, now they're back with their family, spending more time, and I believe more time than ever because you want to do it right. You want to be that plugged-in father. You want to be the best husband, all of that. But maybe we're not equipped with all of those emotional skills, again, byproduct of evolution, to be spending so much time at home because of the way that things were back in the day, that we didn't actually do that.
Yeah. Well, I would almost argue that we are equipped with it. We just don't know how to engage it.
Thank you. I totally agree with you. Yeah, of course. You know, guys are sensitive. Unfortunately, we're not allowed normally to show that sensitivity because it's a sign of weakness.
Yep. But I agree with you right there. I would almost go and say guys are a little bit more sensitive than women though. And I can't tell you the number of what you would consider macho men or alpha males who just break down crying in our sessions. And guys are just as sensitive. And, you know, especially after the Me Too movement where guys have really taken a step back and said, oh, the way that we used to behave, it's not really appropriate anymore. Mm-hmm. Never really was appropriate, but that's the way that it was. But now we see that we really shouldn't be behaving like that. Guys are starting to open up a little bit more and noticing that, hey, maybe it's okay I go to therapy. Maybe it's okay I go to coaching. Maybe it is okay I open up emotionally, but they just don't know how to do it effectively. And so that's where we see some issues come in.
Thank you for giving men permission to feel that way and be emotional. And I heard in the last couple of months, and I gotta research this a little bit deeper, that boys have much more emotional intelligence than girls. But there we go, where they are told, and this came from what I would call credible sources, you know, therapists, that of somebody that wrote a book about this, but I want to look deeper into it. However, what happens when you're a boy? You're told just that. Suck it up. Be a man. Big boys don't cry. So a lot of times boys are viewed as being crazy when they're young and they're all bouncing all over the place. But maybe that's because they don't know what to do with that emotion. They don't know how to process it. They're kids. They're told not to. So there's no place for it to vent. And then life goes on, and then it gets suppressed, and then it gets suppressed on and on and on until they're in their 20s and now 30s and 40s gets to a point where now men have issues because they've kept it inside. Is that possible that's really what's going on here?
It could be. That's the first time I've heard that, that statistic. And so it could be very possible. And it would not surprise me at all. Because if you look at our society, you know, we already talked about, you know, our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and everything getting passed down through the generations. Pick yourself up by the bootstraps. Don't cry. You know, suck it up, buttercup. All of those things.
It's funny that I would look at, before I had a boy, other friends and their sons when they were younger, and they were crazy. They were bouncing all over the place. Then I had a son, and he was a little more chill. But yeah, I think maybe there is something there. We've got to look into that. But thankfully, men now are okay with saying that they have a therapist, saying that they have a coach. They're working with somebody to work through it. Why don't we look at the difference between coaching and therapy? I think there's a lot of confusion. Yeah, what is the difference?
Sure. So therapy deals a lot more with mental health, we'll call them issues. So these could be what are found in the Diagnostic and Statistics Manual 5, the DSM-5. So those are things like bipolar 1, 2, borderline narcissism, antisocial personality, anxiety, depression, those type of things. And so what it does is it takes a lot more look at, I like to say, the past and the present with very little looking into the future. Coaching, on the other hand, does not deal with mental health issues. I hate that word issues, but it's the best word to describe it. Instead, it really helps you identify more who you want to become, where that gap is between who you are now and who you want to be, or the job you have now with the job that you want to have. Maybe some issue in life. Yes, it can deal a little bit with some mental health issues on the low end of the scale, but really you want to use the coach more for, hey, you know, I'm male X, but I want to become male Y. How do I get there? What do I have to do? And so that's where coaching really shines. Whereas therapy is like, oh, well, let's look at your mental health. And it's like, actually, I'm doing decent. I already did a bunch of therapy. Now it's time for me to explore coaching. So I really see if somebody is struggling mentally, starting out with therapy and then going into coaching, so that you can get all the background trauma, all of the negative core beliefs worked out. And coaching is also really great for the negative core beliefs, but can't really do the background mental health work. That's why you have to be a licensed therapist, is you go through years of schooling, years of supervision, just to be able to help people. So
I've often
hopefully that
heard,
answers the question some.
Yeah, absolutely. And would you say that with therapy, a lot of times you're looking back, how did I get to this point where coaching is more of forward momentum or action items, things that you can do to, once you identified what's going on, how we got to this point, what you can do about it?
Correct. Definitely.
Got it. Now you offer coaching and consulting. So let's now look to look at the difference between those two.
Okay. So we just talked about coaching. Consulting, on the other hand, is more, let's say there's a therapist that wants to get into life coaching. I would help consult them on, okay, what's the process of shifting over from coaching to, or from therapy to coaching? Like, what can you and can you not do? Because if you do things that are similar to therapy while you're coaching, you can actually get into trouble because you're doing things only a licensed person should be doing. Like, what type of marketing do you have to do? What type of website? You know, and really going into more the business side of things.
Gotcha.
And so it's, well, helping people with their, who they want to become, and it's more going into that business realm.
So looking at the coaching end of things, Conrad, we're talking about men's issues today. What are some of the issues that you help men with?
Yeah. So it is an inexhaustible list almost, but some of the stuff is like what you normally would think of: midlife crises. There's intimacy issues. And so that's more on the romantic side of things, sexual performance issues. A lot of guys are talking about, you know, hey, I'm really nervous. And, you know, guys on TV or in the movies have six pack abs or look a certain way, and I don't. And I take my shirt off and I don't know if she actually really likes me. So there's intimacy issues and sexual performance issues. Grief and loss, you know, there's a lot of that going on where guys just stuff it down. Challenges related to, you know, someone being a dad. They're like, this is my first kid. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Am I doing it right? Or maybe they have like three or four kids. They're like, I did something right with one of them, but what about the other ones? Then there's the mental health aspect, anxiety and depression. Feeling positive emotions is one that, like difficulty feeling those is one that I get from time to time as well. And a big one is, and this is a deep-seated core belief in almost every male that I've worked with, it's fear of not being enough.
Wow, ring the bell. That really is, in my journey of learning all about this, and talking about it on air, probably the number one thing that comes up for men and women, that I'm not enough.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, no matter what, good job, personal, I'm not enough. Let's go there. Let's put the microscope on that situation. Where could that come from? And I know there's a variety of reasons, but maybe we could give a couple of examples where that could come from. And then how could a man fortify his feelings of being enough? What are some of the things, maybe some tools, ideas, obviously to get coached and somebody walk the journey like you do, but maybe there's other things that we can do to help.
Okay. So where it can come from, that usually stems from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Most people do not escape childhood. Okay. You know, maybe it's, my dad worked so much and he never spent quality time with me. Or maybe it's my mom had some mental health issues and she wasn't around for me like she should have been. Or my parents divorced and I didn't see one of my parents. Maybe it goes to bullying. I was in school and I got bullied a lot. And so it made me feel like no matter what, I wasn't good enough for any group I tried to get into except for the quote-unquote weird kids who no one wanted to be friends with.
Yeah. What about even something that's so, call it benign, or what could appear to be so not impactful, but can be impactful. And all the examples you gave, you know, totally understand them.
So one of the biggest ones is a lot of, especially the single guys these days who come to me, it's dating. Mm. You know, they are on dating apps and they're like, it's a crapshoot. I swipe right and I match with maybe one out of 200 that I swipe on. Is it something about me? Or they go out on dates and they just aren't getting that second date. And they're like, am I just not good enough? You know, maybe I don't drive the right car. Maybe I don't have the right job. I don't bring in enough money. I don't live in the right place. Or I still have to live with my parents because of the amount of debt that I have from student loan.
Mm.
You know, guys are really stressed about that.
Sure. And understandably, you know, it's the, you know,
right.
you're single and it's defeating. And I totally understand and relate to it and talk to friends about just what you're saying all the time. But in that journey, that dating journey, it takes time to get that thick skin, not to the point where you're disrespectful to anyone, but to the point where if there is some rejection, there is no second date. It's like, oh, well. You know, on to the next. It's not me. I am
right.
Enough. You know? It's going to happen.
Yeah. It takes a while to get there, though.
Takes a while to get there. Absolutely. What about something so minor, if you will, of let's say little Jimmy is 7 years old and childhood is pretty good. Shows a painting to mom or dad, doesn't matter. And they say, oh, well, you know, that Jimmy, that came out really good. That's it. Now, we know the sky is not green. It's blue. Now, we know you can do better than that. Now, come on. Just fix that. Come on, Jimmy. Little things like that, can they make an imprint in a child about not being good enough and that pilot them or be a block in the future?
Very much so. Mm. Sometimes it takes just one comment by a parent like that.
Yeah.
Maybe the parent's having a rough day. You know, their boss yelled at them at work. And so they take it out on something as trivial as the sky is green instead of blue.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's continuous where the child keeps doing things, but the parents are like, oh, you could have done better. You could have done better. You know, I have one client who nothing was ever good enough. They would hit a triple in baseball and their dad's like, well, if you ran a little faster, you would have turned it into a home run. Nothing was ever good enough. And so continuous comments like that.
Yeah. Accumulative, you know, one is it like it's a boat. You're a boat. The man's a boat or the boy's a boat and took a hit from a torpedo. Now you got another hit. Now you got those little ones, those little things, you know, didn't get picked for the team. Now we have the other thing. Now mom said something. Mom and dad did the best they could with what they have. Let's face it, as parents, unless you know this stuff, you don't know this stuff. You think you're being helpful by telling your kid this sky should really be green. And maybe you're saying that because you don't want somebody to make fun of your kid. Like, you know, like, hey, Jimmy, the sky is not green. You're trying to do the best, but all those things add up and then could turn into the I'm not good enough situation. So now we assume that life has gone on and you feel that you're not good enough. In all those situations, it shows up. What can we do? Mm-hmm. Some tools to get past that.
If you don't want to talk with a therapist or coach, you know, that's one option. But getting a good support structure, that's always the biggest thing that I've found is lacking in a lot of males, is not having a good support structure of other males around them.
Mm.
You know, maybe they're like, I have one friend that I've had for like 30 years and that's all I need. You know, I don't want to deal with anyone else. Yeah. So people isolate, and getting out of that isolation really, I find, helps tremendously, because then they're like, oh, my friends actually really do like me and I am a decent person. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm much better. I'm getting out of my head. And so doing activities to get out of one's head, I always like to recommend the physical activity. Because a lot of times we're very stationary in life. And so the more bored we are and the more we just sit around, the more our mind is allowed to wander. But if we get busy, maybe it's going out and working in the garden. Maybe it's doing leatherworking or woodworking or going out and volunteering, going for a walk, going for a jog, going to the gym and working out, or even if it's really bad out, you know, like, well, I got to do something, push-ups, sit-ups, jumping jacks, calisthenics, anything to really get your body going so that your mind gets away from the track that it's on. Those are things that can help out for individuals. But really, it's just getting out there and connecting. It's that connection that we're missing.
Yeah. And being comfortable connecting in talking about those things, where, like, we go back to what we mentioned a little while ago, that men aren't, they don't feel it's okay to show that emotion. What about the language that we use within ourselves? Even the stuff that goes around in our heads. You wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you're like, oh, look at that. What I got? Where did that pop up? Where, I think I'm, you know, some hair over there is, you know, it was there yesterday. Or, you know, those things, those negative things, should we turn that around? And
we should.
That language, yeah. Even just to say, I am enough. I am enough. Can that be impactful?
Yeah, it can be hugely impactful. And also to remember, you know, if you're, let's say, 50, well, I'm not 25 anymore. I'm not going to look or feel the same as I did back then. But what's different now is I have a lot more wisdom and know what's going to happen if I do something. And so, yeah, I am enough because, yep, those 25-year-olds can run laps around me. But while they're running laps, I'm doing something that's actually productive and something that betters me, instead of just trying to live life to the fullest.
100%. And even, I mean, for all of us, if you go back half your life in your mind and think about where you were then, let's say you lacked a lot of confidence. Let's say you didn't navigate relationships maybe as well as you do now. Not to say you're perfect, but by any stretch, none of us are. But think of where you were. Even if you go back, I've done this in my journey, 6 months. And I look back and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. If you go back 6 days, you're not going to see it. But 6 months, even if it's slight tweaks in the way you look at things, in the way you interact with people, in the way you let them treat you, it's like, wow, all right, we're making some progress. I learned from that experience. I learned from that experience, and that made me better. And then go back half your life and say, I would have never known that back then.
Yeah. It's amazing. And what I like to remind my clients is, you know, from a molecular level, all of our cells are brand new every 7 years. So at the 7 year mark, we're basically a whole different person. Molecularly.
Yes,
thank you.
I don't know how I pulled that off, Conrad.
But yeah, so if you're still the same person mentally 7 years later that you were, you know, 7 years prior, I'm going to question you and be like, well, what work are you actually putting in? Or are you just letting defeat happen day after day after day?
I recently heard that everything does go to a cellular level. Everything you experience, you deal with, it's not just in your mind or your mind dealing with it. It goes way deeper in your body. And that's why when you deal with things, it can manifest in health issues and disease and all of that, because it's going so deep within your being, right?
Yeah, it's very true. I've had clients who talk about chronic pain, and then we work on things. And 6 months later, they're like, actually, the pain's not as bad as it used to be, because that's our body holding on to the trauma that we're holding on to from however long ago.
Somebody I spoke with recently, it's funny how all this stuff is coming up, and I heard about a lot of this, and it's interesting, told me that when you have certain pains in your body, it's a direct correlation to what you've dealt with. And I gave her an example of something that a friend of mine dealt with and having a shoulder pain. And she said, okay. Is it in the right shoulder? I'm like, yeah. Female issue, dealing with something. It's in the right side of your body is most definitely something with a woman and something that went bad. and you're dealing with it. And sure enough, that was true. I want to go back to the 7 year thing, because I find that super interesting. I've heard that it's every 5 to 7 years, like just like you said, that we make those changes or we grow, like our cells reproduce or change and all of that. And the 7 year itch, many times, like you hear that in relationships, like, it's 7 year itch, it's going to change, you know, your relationship, your marriage, getting reevaluated. A lot of times it could be 5 years in relationships, and then you take 2 years to act on it. And that's where the 7 years come up. And I thought it was just, you know, bunk, like, really? Okay. Then I thought back in my relationships, and every 7 years, there was something that was notable, something that was, you know, a turning point or could have been. So I don't know if there's any credence in that, but it seems like you're saying that, you know, seven is a marker for a lot of this stuff.
That would be something to definitely look into. Now I kind of want to talk to you off air and be like, so let's dive into this.
Because that's how you're wired. That's what you do.
It is. I'm like, people are jigsaw puzzles, and I just want to put the puzzle together.
Yeah, you know, that's a great analogy. And that you also probably, you know, here's the full puzzle put together right now. But what pieces went into the puzzle of each person that you work with? Well, here's something from when you were 7 years old. All right, there's a piece. Let's put that in there. Here's one from when you were 12. Oh, okay, put that one up. 22. Here's another piece. And that kind of makes us the way we are now. Working with you on a coaching level, what are some of the things that we can benefit from? Obviously, figuring this stuff out, unpacking what may have happened in the past and how the dots are connected. But do we get more confidence, self-esteem, things like that?
That is on a client-by-client basis. It really depends on why you're coming to coaching. But one of the big things is really helping shift the internal core beliefs. Like, okay, who do you perceive yourself as now? And, you know, people usually say something and it's like, oh, well, actually what I'm hearing is, and then I go into, okay, well, sounds like there's this background information, and that's really what is beneath the surface. And then we discuss that. And then it's like, okay, who do you want to be? I want to know who you want to be in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And that really gets the creative juices going of, oh, well, you know, I really don't like the profession I'm in. I want to be happy in my job in 5 years. I want to be in a healthy relationship with kids within 10 years. And they really line it out. But then the kicker is I usually send people home and I say, I want you to write down how you want people to remember you when you're dead. And then the next session we come back to talk about that. And I'm like, I don't want you doing this in session because you need to put a lot of work and a lot of emphasis in that. And so once they're able to do that, then pretty much the biggest issue that I deal with is thoughts and behaviors not lining up. And so therapeutically, they call it cognitive dissonance. In coaching, it's like, you know, you're just not doing what you say you're doing, basically, in layman's terms. And then we look at, okay, you want to be remembered that way when you die or when you're dead. But your actions aren't doing that. Your actions are actually showing this. Oh, you're an angry guy. Oh, you know, you can't hold down a job. Oh, you know, this or that. But you want to be remembered as a philanthropist. You want to be remembered as a loving father and a loving husband. But your actions aren't showing that. And so then what I challenge the client to do is I want you to start asking yourself when you're able to make a decision, would me in 5, 10, 20 years, or me at the end of my life, would he do that? If the answer is yes, then go ahead and do it. If the answer is no, don't do it. Because if you really want to change who you are, you need to start making those informed decisions and actually making the changes yourself.
And there's where the coaching aspect comes in, as opposed, nothing wrong with therapy, but as opposed to therapy, because it's always forward momentum. You're always moving forward. Right. Where therapy, there's a place for it, where we look back and we kind of stay there. Or I've always felt every time I got together with a therapist, we just rehash the same stuff. How are you today? Well, I'm great. You know, I'm learning, moving forward, but I want to look at tomorrow. I want to move forward.
Right.
We're almost out of time, but I want to ask you a question regarding performance and intimacy for men. And I know that one of the things you specialize in, along with lots of men's issues, is sex addiction. And we'll talk about that in depth next time we get together. But when it comes to performance and intimacy issues, do you find that many times it's psychological, where a man is thinking, physical, I got something going on here, so it's not working, whatever. But it's really the majority of the issues is psychological, or I'm not good enough, what we talked about, those kinds of things.
Yeah, a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times it is psychological. Maybe it's, I've watched so much porn, I don't know if I can actually get erect whenever I have a real woman in front of me. Oh, you know, she's not my ideal type, and should I just hold out? You know, I don't know if I'm really into this. Or maybe it's, I don't like how I look. You know, I just had a really big meal, and, you know, I'm just now getting used to kind of having a stomach because I used to not have one, but I really don't like how I look. Or, oh, now I'm, like, getting body hair, and I'm not used to body hair, you know. So it is a lot of psychological stuff going on. A lot of it deal, I mean, there, I shouldn't say a lot because it covers a massive spectrum, but yeah, sure. I'd say a lot of psychological.
Yeah. Or it could even be tied into
our heads a lot.
Previous relationships, how they went, how you were made to feel, whether you internalized that or it was a true feeling that, you know, you got from somebody else, or, you know, things that they said stick with you. And now, you know, you carry the baggage. I call it the emotional backpack. Yeah, back there. I need to get rid of it.
Yeah, it really is. And your current partner or person you're having sex with says something or does something that reminds you of that ex that maybe it was a really abusive relationship to you because, hey, newsflash, guys actually can be emotionally and verbally abused in relationships a lot more than they are physically abused.
Yeah.
Happens way more than we realize. And they say something, and then all of a sudden we're in our head, and we just lose all performance. We get performance anxiety, or we just shut down. And we're like, I can't do this.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Next time we get together, we're going to dig deeper into that and that aspect of
Sounds
men's
good.
Issues. Conrad, if somebody wants to look at a change in terms of coaching, potentially working with you, how do we connect with you? If this is resonating with a man, and he knows he needs to make some changes and just wants to really get it all out there, how do they connect with you?
Yeah, just go to my website, mindaligned.com. And through that website, you can reach out and, you know, contact me. I'll be the one that responds to you via email. Or you could just, if you're like, yeah, I just want to, you know, do a discovery call, you can sign up for a discovery call. We'll talk for 15, 30 minutes, just kind of see if it's a good fit, what your goals are, and if I'd be able to help you. And then from there, we can always, you know, talk about doing a session or multiple sessions together. So the best way is just going to mindaligned.com.
Awesome. Thank you for what you do, because there aren't a lot of places for men to turn. And this is what you specialize in. This is your life's work, all based on your past that got you to this point, which I'd love to talk about next time we get together. And I look forward to that. Thanks for being with us today.
All right. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Broadcasting worldwide to make a difference. This is Positive Impact Radio.